Tava Kumani from the HSRC. I'll be chairing the session. And you are here to hear a presentation on stakeholder perceptions of the victim empowerment initiatives in Kakadu district in the Eastern Cape. Okay. And so I'll hand over to Sili Tabani who will do the presentation. Sili?
Okay. Thank you and good afternoon all. As it has already introduced me, my name is Tabani. I work in the program called HIV and AIDS, STI and TB. HAST is a new name, it used to be SAHA, now called HAST. And we were involved in this research project where we interviewed stakeholders in the Eastern Cape about their perceptions of the victim empowerment program. Can you go to the next slide? Okay. As the topic states there, it's stakeholders' perceptions of the victim empowerment initiatives in the Kakadu district of the Eastern Cape. The purpose of this presentation is for us to learn some lessons from the study conducted in the Eastern Cape and lessons in respect with strengths, weaknesses, critical success factors of the initiatives in the Eastern Cape. Just as form of introduction, we all know that government at the end of the day is accountable for the management of crime and requires policies, strategies and programs to carry out this responsibility. The National Crime Prevention Strategy, those who are familiar with it, it's called the NCPS, forms part of the National Growth and Development Strategy and is proof that government realizes its responsibility for crime prevention. The NCPS was launched in 1996. The main objectives are to empower victims by offering support and effective services and engaging in proactive ways of preventing the recurrence of crime. Victim empowerment enables victims of crime to heal and move on with the least possible harm or loss. This study was commissioned by the Kakadu District Board. You will notice as I present that our sample was very small because it's the district that actually wanted us to evaluate this program. And I think I saw somewhere in some adverts that there was a tender to do the same evaluation, I think, in all the provinces. So this was a good beginning from the HSRC. The objectives of the research was to explore knowledge, attitudes, and perception about the VEP as described in the National Crime Prevention Strategy, and also to provide a summary recommendations of critical success factors. The methods we used here, it's an exploratory descriptive study which was conducted among victim empowerment service providers in the four selected areas of Kakadu district, mainly Humansdorp, Graaf Reinet, Grahamstown, and Jeffreys Bay. I think these are the areas where the program is implemented. And our sample consisted of service providers from the victim empowerment initiatives. We had people from welfare organizations, safety and security, correctional services, justice department, health, NGOs, CBOs, faith-based organizations, and also the Department of Health and Social Welfare, they call it, yes, in the Eastern Cape. That we, because of time constraints and financial constraints, we conducted telephone interviews using a semi-structured questionnaire. The interviews were tape recorded and transcribed The data was thematically coded and entered into the SPSS program. We identified things which we will discuss in our results. Ethical considerations, we obtained approval from the HSRC Research Ethics Committee, and there were no harmful procedures. Data was collected anonymously, and informed consent was given by the participants. The findings. There was a question around victim empowerment program needs. These were just general needs. And emotional needs were identified. As a result, counseling sessions are very critical. And also developing crime prevention programs, not only focusing on the victim, but just making the communities aware about prevention programs, victim prevention programs. And public education, medical assistance, physical trauma, because some are sexually abused and some have to receive medical assistance. So those are also some of the needs. And also provision of information to victims. The fact that there are victims, at times we take for granted that you know, they are so traumatized, they might not have time or be able to listen and all that, but we must know that we must provide information to them. And also very important, to protect them from victimization, because if someone is victimized and they report a case and they know that, oh, I might be victimized, you know, they end up not coming forward. So, however, this is one of our biggest need in the program. Regarding the services that are offered in Gatatu district, they have volunteers, and usually the victim will be visited by the volunteer, and at times the case is reported to the police, and the volunteers may write letters to victims and say, we're offering to help you, introducing themselves who they are. They have telephone hotline counseling centers which are attached to police stations. Accommodation and shelter, obviously, is provided when there is a need through NGOs. And also practical support like food and clothing. Information about rights and compensation is also very important. You can imagine if someone has been involved in accidentally in a crime and they don't know what compensation they must get. So this is also very important. They also assist during investigation of crime. There are people who visit the victim and support them. And also during court proceedings. They have crime prevention advice, how to prevent crime in the future. A lot of other services like legal advice, advocacy and lobbying, public education, training of criminal justice officials, medical assistance, referral to agencies, information regarding outcome of a court, financial assistance, professional counseling. What was very interesting for me when I was conducting the interviews, the training of criminal justice officials, because some of the officials knew nothing about what kind of help can you give to your victim. You know, I know it sounds like very odd, but because they deal mainly with perpetrators, they hardly think of victims. And maybe also whilst they're working with perpetrators with this program, it will give them opportunity as they get trained, educated, opportunity to know when they deal with a perpetrator, there is someone out there who is this person. And I'm sure these issues are related to babies and things like that. Okay, we can go to the next slide. The type of violence suffered by victims. Mainly assaults, domestic violence, child abuse, murder, attempted murders, rape, sexual assault, hijackings, robberies other than robberies that are not hijackings. But also the main ones, obviously, were domestic violence, sexual assault, and child abuse. They have very few hijackings and robberies. But those are also a type of violence that they encounter in the area. The profile of victims, when we asked the stakeholders about the profile of the victims, mainly lower income groups. They, however, also mentioned that they do see all income groups, lower, medium, and high income groups, but the lower income groups are the main victims. And in terms of racial group, mainly black people. There are colored people, there are whites, but mainly black people in the Takadu district. The marketing methods, they're using the media, word of mouth, referrals by other organizations, and they have pamphlets and newsletters, workshops and public meetings. Just also very interesting because it was different stakeholders that as you interview one stakeholder and you go to the next stakeholder, you could see that it's not like they're fabricating stories. There was like some collaboration, they were talking the same language, and the word of mouth they thought was the most fruitful way of marketing their services. And word of mouth here, they're talking mostly about community involvement, because the victim empowerment programs, services, are in the communities, situated at police stations. It's easier for people to access, and it's easy for people to talk about where they are going and what they are doing. After conducting this study, sometimes we become so ignorant about these kind of things, but I know I'm originally from Atrushville. And next to the police station, there's this nice, beautiful center where, I was just asking myself, what's happening here? People come and go. It's such a friendly place where victims go and report cases and you don't feel intimidated. But obviously, I didn't know before I conducted the study, so this also enlightened me a little bit. You can go to the next slide. In terms of utilization and accessibility of VEP services, in general, all the stakeholders said people utilize and access services a great deal. And this is evident in their counseling services statistics, where they record how many people have been there for counseling services. And the Komanani stats also reflect high participation of victims in the program. And the victim support centers, because they're situated at the police stations and are open 24 hours, it's easy for people to go there. Services are also in towns, which is central to community members. Sometimes people work in town, and if it's only situated at the police stations in the communities, it might be difficult for those who are working. So they are able to access those services during their lunchtime or on their way back or to work. And VEP centers and social workers are available in communities, so there's no need for transport. That's why it makes it easy for them to access, for the victims to access services. And there are also high numbers of cases reported. In our sample, we also had policemen who were members of the community police forums, which was also very interesting to see how the services are integrated. The type of I thought we should start with the weaknesses before we go to the critical success factors and or strengths. Obviously, in terms of weaknesses, I mean, in every program there are weaknesses and strengths, and the district wants to improve. They were assessing whether they are doing well or not. So in terms of monitoring, there's that perception that at ground level, the services are integrated and there's collaboration. However, executive members, and here they're talking about government departments, there is no working together. So that's a weakness for them. And reporting, not all crimes are reported and followed up. If crimes are reported, some of them are not followed up. So that needs to be looked into. And awareness, although all the four towns mentioned that everyone is aware of the services because they're situated in the communities, they're volunteers. In Humanstorp, it was a bit of a problem because they don't have enough volunteers. And also lack of resources, stipends, volunteers don't get paid anything. And telephones, at times cases get reported, or when they have to refer, they can't follow up telephonically, they have to walk or drive or something like that. And also computers for them to record all people who have been seen. Transport. In terms of transport, there's a lot of collaboration, they say. However, they don't have emergency vehicles. When someone has physical injuries and the person needs to be referred to hospital or to the clinic, they wait too long for emergency vehicles. And in that regard, it's the emergency services that need to be included in the program. Visibility is again in Humanstorp. There is also perception that there is high workload. Because the service is in the community and it's easy for people to access, they use volunteers, and because they don't have professional staff. So the quality of service is another question. Volunteers need to be supervised all the time, and they need staff members, professional staff members who can supervise them. Other weaknesses. Funding. If more, although we know funding, we all talk about money. This morning I was interviewed by a radio station about this program, and the question they asked me, what do you think of funding? Do you think government must fund, give us more money and all that? And I just also thought the more stakeholders are involved, the more resources will be there, because someone might have transport, someone telephone, some computers and all that. Lack of communication among stakeholders. They need regular meetings. And also in the Eastern Cape, language barriers. Majority of people who were interviewed, the stakeholders, are African speaking. And the low income groups are Xhosa speaking people, and there is a bit of a language barrier there. Okay, we come into the critical success factors, what they thought were their strengths. Good management of VEP services. The involvement of all the stakeholders. The stakeholders around the district are all involved, and they try very hard to refer clients, victims to each other and to see how they can help each other. At the police station, they were telling me that, oh, you know, when they have to do home visits and there's a vehicle available, they usually transport the volunteers as an example of how they work together. And human and financial resources. Although they felt it's somehow a weakness, but because they're working together, the management of services there is good, they are able to share resources for the sake of the victim or the person who they're trying to help. And the expansion of money, the board of management. Management board is also critical. As we have noted, they have the executive staff in the program not being involved, so they want to bring them aboard, on board. The staff is committed. They can see how dedicated the staff that works in this program. They are very committed and they help people, so that shows them that they have a good management in place. They have a management system and a board in place, and the board consists of NGOs, the Department of Education, Social Development, community members, and the police. Adequate resources, emergency transport. Although the emergency services are not so much involved with them, but they think they do have that in place. They help each other amongst different organizations. The different organizations help each other. And they also need more volunteers in human stuff. In other areas, there are volunteers. And if they didn't have volunteers, they don't see themselves rendering a good service to the victims. Overnight places, beds to sleep. Through organizations like Child Welfare, they are able to provide people with overnight accommodation. And then through the board and the management system that they have, there is definitely intersectoral collaboration. Capacity development. In terms of capacity development, they train staff on VPE services, and when we talk about training staff, it's the volunteers, the police are training nurses about what services should are they rendering, what they expecting from them, and the nurses, the clinics, hospitals are also training other stakeholders. Provision of stipend to volunteers is also seen as a critical success factor in the victim empowerment. And also stakeholders claim that they are informed about the program through the National Council in the province. The victims are also engaged in income-generating projects, and the volunteers are trained to educate community members about what victim empowerment entails. Other success factors, improvement on communication, tools like faxes and photocopies. They need more of these so that they can improve communication. The service stations that they have at police stations don't have many of these facilities. And sharing of information for collaboration is also important. They do have monthly meetings, but they think that these meetings should be held regularly. And also increase awareness at schools. They have awareness programs at schools. And they are also involved in the national campaign strategy. They have newsletters going around, but they need more of that because there's money involved in printing newsletters. Monthly and quarterly meetings, as I've already mentioned, that they do have meetings as stakeholders, but they need to make these meetings more often and regular. Community involvement in public meetings. Here, they don't think just using volunteers is enough, but it's using volunteers and having public meetings where the whole community will get involved. And some of the, we tried to categorize the themes, but you can see they are interrelated, regular stakeholders meetings and feedback meetings. Feedback meetings are also more about stakeholders who refer to each other, meet and discuss the progress of cases. Public awareness on VEP. They need more media release and to make the public more aware of their rights. Some public, community members know they are victims, but they don't know what their rights are exactly. So, as I say, some of these things are interrelated. The invisibles within the community and using more volunteers, especially in human stuff. NGOs and churches, especially churches, need to participate in victim empowerment programs. Monitoring and evaluation. Although the stakeholders mentioned that the Department of Health and Social Welfare do monitoring and evaluation. It needs to be timelessly report. They have to have reporting dates that are regular and on time. And accurate statistics is needed. You remember that using computers and telephones, it's a weakness. So for them to have accurate statistics, obviously they will need to strengthen what was identified as a weakness. And also regular meetings and regular evaluation sessions. Lastly, involvement of many service providers will assist with funding problems, obviously giving us more opportunities for funding, sharing resources, things like that. And to have victim support centers in all areas. In some areas, they have them at the police station and all over the community, but if they can have them also in rural areas. And also to report on, to improve on reporting and payment of volunteers. The recommendations. Government need to increase funding for sectors in order to be able to properly support victims of crime. And when we talk about this, we interviewed stakeholders, and when you look at the stakeholders, it's NGOs, CBOs, faith-based organizations, people who tell you that they get funding from government. So if government increases funding for those various sectors, it's easy for people to deal with, to support victims of crime. And provision of space and resources is also crucial for the program. Although we have victim empowerment centers, service centers at police stations, if they can be expanded also to some other resources in the community, so that the volunteers don't have to walk long distances. There should also be more campaigns on victims' rights and the victim empowerment service. And these are contributors, people who were involved in this project. I've just acknowledged them. And that is the end of the presentation. I'm sure you can ask questions, we can now.
Okay, thanks a lot, Cindy. I'll now invite comments or questions. Maybe we can start with Durban. That's Durban, then we'll come to Pretoria. Is there anyone in Durban?
Yes. There's a small group of us in Durban.
Okay.
I was just wondering about the disproportionality in terms of language and the race of respondents. Was it disproportional, or was it proportional to the breakdown of the population in that area? In other words, you say predominantly blacks were victims of crime, and predominantly, I think, were service providers were black. I'm not sure of the second statement, but the first one. But did that reflect the population of the area that you were researching? Sorry, it's Joan Vanikoek speaking, and I'm from Childline, the national office. And thank you for inviting us. This is really very useful.
there any other question or comment in Durban? Okay, Cindy, can you?
I think the language issue and the race issue reflects the population in the Gagadu district, where you find majority. Remember, this area is the one that used to be the old Ciskei and Transkei.
And
yes, those days. And we had, during that time, we had a lot of people who were farmers, so it will be the African speaking, and many people in rural areas who are Xhosa speaking. And what I was saying was that from the sample that we had, obviously we were interviewing stakeholders, people who are offering the program, the service, and mostly were African speaking. And although they mentioned that mainly Xhosa black speaking, I mean population black of victims, they do also have whites and colored people who are also victims. So I'm sure if I answer your question, it was not disproportional. It was this.
Because we also often struggle with the language issues. Because again, we find that there is a disproportionate representation of helpers who do not speak the language of those who require the services.
Mm.
If that makes sense to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Thank you, Silly.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Pretoria.
Mine is just a question of clarity. I just wanted to find out, in terms of the, you say the study was commissioned by the Gagadu District Board. My question is around the interest. Why did they commission the study? I mean, was there any, were there any indicators that they looked at in terms of victim empowerment programs that they thought were pertinent in terms of you conducting the study? That's the one question. And then the second question is in relation to your findings. I mean, I think your findings concur some of the things that the victim empowerment program within the department, you know, is aware of. But also, just to find out, do you feel that there needs to be more than what you have recommended in relation to the program itself within the district?
Okay. I just want to find out if the program or your sample was only limited to suicide in police station, because you kept referring to the police station, and yet there are other sites as well that are also rendering services to victims. So I just want to find out if the sample was it only, you know, focusing on police stations.
Yeah.
Mine is a follow up on that question. You mentioned victim-friendly facilities at police stations. Then you talked about victim support centers. Is that the same concept for you, or is it two different definitions?
Those three will do for now.
Yeah. Okay.
Is Missy around here?
She's gone.
She's gone?
Okay. Missy is one of my colleagues who was also involved in this project. Okay, let's start with the clarity, reason for conducting the study. The victim empowerment program is a fairly kind of new program. And I think this was kind of their first evaluation of whether they are doing okay or not, so that they can improve. Just for their district, that the program is new and they've already started, and they have all the critical, I mean, the strengths, the identity, they think they know their weaknesses and strengths, but obviously to improve service you need to embark on something like this.
Okay.
And then the second question, what can be done? I think a lot came out about involving the community. Although there is lack of resources, even if you have resources and they are based in town and, you know, your offices, departments, if the community is not involved, then it's a problem. And with the community, it also deals with barriers. You know, when you're a victim, it's a stigma. So if it's something that the community is going to see as something that affects their lives, I mean, affects them every day, and anybody can be a victim. If it's seen by the community and if the service is offered by community members, then it makes the problem more easily accepted, and also the victims can come out and report cases, not fear victimization. And about the police stations, no, we didn't only interview the police stations, but all the stakeholders. When you talk about victim empowerment program or victim empowerment services, the services are situated in the police stations. So, and I think there's an appreciation of, if the service is at the police station, it's easy for people to go and report because kind of they feel a little bit safe. And the volunteers are situated at the police station, the community police forum, and obviously the South African police subs. They are the kind of first contact to come with the to meet the victims when they report cases. And then because of these centers at the police station, then they are able to refer to relevant structures like NGOs, faith-based organizations. But what was interesting was the appreciation of all stakeholders about the service being situated at the police station. So I think the main part of this, we had NGOs, departments, schools, psychologists, even before 1996, we had victims and they were assisted. But because of this whole victim empowerment program, there is a realization that it works better if it's situated at the police stations, unlike if someone goes to child welfare and say, I've been emotionally abused, physically abused, maybe a child, something like that. The police station issue?
Yeah, I think with some of the things that you've mentioned are quite correct, but there's also, we're currently doing a pilot in three provinces,
mm-hmm.
and some of the sites are police stations.
Yes.
But we find that in some instances communities travel to go to the police station to report, even if there's a friendly room,
yes,
within the site,
mm,
or the police station, because of various reasons.
Okay.
You might find that the frontliner staff is not trained,
mm,
on the VEP, so
yes,
they are not aware.
Yes.
Or maybe there is a VEP room, but the people in front are not aware
of the, yes.
And so there are those,
okay.
Yeah. That's why maybe we're so surprised with that. It sounds so nice.
Yeah. No, as I say, before I also got involved in this study, there is something like that in Atrium, it meant nothing to me until, you know, these people, as we interviewed, like victim empowerment services at police station, I said, oh, that is why, you know, that block, that building, it's that kind of facility.
Okay, any more?
Oh, I think there was another, the victim empowerment services, victim empowerment program, I think it was used interchangeably, the services and the program. Yes.
Okay.
Thanks, Joseph. I think now, some of my concerns have been raised, especially on the issue of black and white, concerning this is the Eastern Cape. I'm beginning to think that you're talking about the Western Cape, not Eastern Cape, but from the Eastern Cape also. But maybe because the points that you've highlighted that you're targeting the police stations, those environments in the Eastern Cape, police stations are regarded as, for instance, people from the rural area won't consider going to the Kenya police station because it's seen as a no-go area due to the past. But also the areas that we've targeted. I think it's more towns rather than rural areas. That's why your service providers are becoming white. And for me, from the victim empowerment program, it raises concerns. Because it sends a message that we having people who are doing it for them, the majority of the people who are there, that we have a minority that is providing the services. Is that because that minority is not given chances whenever they approaching the police stations for this kind of, to render this kind of services? They are not given that opportunity. That would be one concern. But also you mentioned compensation. I'm not sure whether you were highlighting that in their services that included compensation of victims. And I wanted clarity on the compensation. Because I've been engaging with people from justice and that is the very touchy. So I wanted to know what maybe we can learn some lessons from this. Okay. Thanks.
There was another question.
My concern is around the issue of funding. I heard you raising it for quite some time. I just want to find out in terms of the relationship between the project and the local government, your municipalities. I'm asking from a position where you find that some of the municipalities, you find that maybe in their public safety budget, they end up spending for about 1% of their budget. While there are initiatives like this which need funding. Then my other concern is on the on the victimizers themselves. I heard you talking about people who would volunteer. Is there a situation where a person who has been a victimizer, maybe say for example, one has raped someone, served a sentence, and then one thinks decides to be an agent of change, will the project accommodate such people if they come forward to volunteer?
Okay. Thank you. Do you have any other?
Thank you.
Okay.
The first question concerned about service providers. You asked about what is it that we think is like our recommendations, and I mentioned that community involvement, and I think in the district the stakeholders also realize that the only way they can break that imbalance is through community involvement, and if they are involving the community, obviously they have to train them. And that is the only way that that imbalance can be dealt with. So there is a need for involving community in the victim empowerment program. And I've also mentioned that they do realize that having adequate resources is one of their biggest needs. But they can have resources, and if they're not using the community in the program, it will be fruitless. The second question about compensation. Here we're not talking about compensating all victims. There are victims who, when we talk about victims, we're not talking only about victims who abuse, sexual abuse, rape, and all that. There are victims, like holistically, generally. Some might have been involved in accidents. We're talking about compensations like that, if I give example. because we have that bias of victim is abused physically, emotionally, sexually. But also some people become victims just by virtue of having watched someone being murdered. You become a victim. Mm. So it's victim in that whole sense.
Okay.
There are two more questions.
Yes.
I'm answering those ones, yes. And regarding funding is obviously a problem. And one of the main witnesses in the program in the Takati district is that they mentioned that the executive management of the program, and in this case, my dear colleagues who supported this presentation, I'm sure they're talking about social development at national, they're talking about social development at provincial. If they are not actively involved, they will not know that when they are in budget meetings, instead of keeping quiet about victim empowerment program and be allocated 1%. So if they also actively get involved, that problem will be resolved. The other question about the victims and the perpetrators, I don't think I'm like qualified to answer that question, because our role was to evaluate the service and present the findings and make recommendations. But in terms of perpetrators and victims and the whole working together, my personal view is that the fact that the Department of Justice is also involved, and some of them, they were like, oh, this is such a wonderful program. And you ask yourself, you know, someone who is human and also resident in this country would not know that when there is a perpetrator, there is a victim, you know, that kind of thing. But it's just that awareness. When you're doing your work, you don't think of the other side of the job. It was very interesting for someone in the Department of Justice to like, oh yeah, by the way, victims. You know, so I think the more we collaborate, the more we educate each other, and then you might find there are perpetrators who might want to be, what do you call them, people who protect future victims. Yes.
I just want a small clarification on the aspect of funding among the stakeholders, because my understanding is that you looked at the study from the service provider point of view relative to the funding that they get from the departments of government. While you possibly, is there another form of funding that they receive apart from what they receive from the government, and possibly how, because they are the ones offering the service, they know the lack of resources. So is there an extra funding besides what the government is? And if it's more, then is this a government priority, or it's a priority of other people?
It's supposed to be government priority. As I mentioned in my introduction, that government is accountable for the management of crime, and it requires policies, strategies, and programs to carry out this responsibility. And through the National Crime Prevention Strategy forms part of the National Growth and Development Strategy, and also RDPs, I mean Reconstruction Development Programs, are proof that government realizes the importance of these services. However, if the executive managers are not actively involved, as I've mentioned, there wouldn't be enough budget. But again, also answering your second question or concern about the funding, do these service providers only depend on government? Most of them, no, they don't depend on government, because you have NGOs who can have other funders. But remember, their priority is not, I mean, they are not priority, yes, priority activities are not victim empowerment. At child welfare, for example, they have so many other programs that they are dealing with. Victims are also part of the program. And maybe NICRO, they also deal with victims. And there are other programs that they are involved in. So, and I think there is also need, when they say to involve more stakeholders, victims, crime is not just an issue that affects community at local, communities at local level. So there is need that businesses also need to be made aware. And I think when they say community involvement, we always think of community means people who are there at home, unemployed, wanting to volunteer, but communities can also include business sectors. And with business sectors, there is kind of opportunity for funding, to improve the funding for this program.
Meaning that there were no external, any other external funder except government from your findings?
They do have other external EAs, but obviously funders, they will tell you the money is for this.
Mm-hmm.
And in some organizations, say for Agnes, child welfare. Child welfare is there to deal with the needs of the children, and some of the needs are abuse, you know, so it's part of that. But whether they have enough money to focus on victim empowerment is another issue.
Any other in Devon? Yeah, Devon.
Yes. I just wondered if there were any specific issues relating to children that emerged in your study and victim services for children. Because when you think of it, any form of child abuse, physical or sexual, is a criminal act. And therefore, services to children who have been abused are, in actual fact, victim empowerment services, although they're often seen as separate, which I think is very unfortunate. But I'm just wondering whether or not in your study there were any specific issues that arose in relation to children who were the victims of crimes.
I was not specific in my presentation, but when you talk about victims, when you spoke about victims, you'll find they're talking about adults reporting children's cases.
Okay.
Yes. So, and also access to these facilities, many children access these services through adults. And NGOs that are involved there, you have faith-based organizations, CBOs, NGOs like Child Welfare. They are kind of all there to protect children. And as I say, whilst they are protecting children, some of the needs of the children are being victims of crime.
Right.
It's almost 1:30 now, and I think I don't see any other hands. Thank you very much, Cindy, for that presentation. And can I also thank all of you for making the time to come here. It's very interesting. It was very interesting. And I think you had your email address if you want to engage with her further. Thanks a lot.
Can we have the
Okay, we have the attendance. Yes. Register, I think a copy of the presentation will be in there.
Oh, yeah, also the paper.